explains a very interesting concept that there are four mitzvahs on Purim, four special mitzvahs that we have on Purim. One is the Megillah, of course, Mikra Megillah. That's Medivrei Nevim, Mishloach Monos, to send portions to each other, Matonas Levyonim, to send money, tzedakah, to the poor people, Umishte V'simcha, and also the mitzvah of doing a Seuda, of eating and rejoicing during the Seuda, eating, drinking, rejoicing in the Seuda. Now these four mitzvahs, says Rav Tzadok, a very interesting concept. Four mitzvahs, four oisiyas in the Shem Avaya, Yudke Vovke. We just read on in Parshas Zohar yesterday, Milchama Lashem Ba'molek Midor Dor. Kiyad al Kes Ko, Milchama Lashem Ba'molek Midor Dor. Hashem swears, Kiviyochol, Hashem takes an oath by his throne. Milchama Lashem Ba'molek. Hashem fights against Amolek Midor Dor in every generation. Where do we see that Hashem fights Amalek midor dor in every generation? So says Rav, that's the pshuto shel mikra. That's the simple pshat in the pasuk. So Rodek explains that these are the four mitzvahs of Purim. Milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek. The shame of Hashem fights Amalek in every generation. How does the name of Hashem fight Amalek in every generation? Through the four mitzvahs of Purim, which parallel, each mitzvah parallels one of the oisiyos, one of the letters of the name of Hashem Yisborah. And that's the pshat, Milchoma l'Hashem ba'molik midor dor. Hashem, the name of Hashem, fights a molik in every generation, the four mitzvahs of Purim, that we fulfill in every generation, is the milchama against Amalek in every generation. It's a tremendous concept, which obviously there has to be sources for this. We can't go into all of them. But a basic fundamental principle that Rav Tzadok repeats in many places based on Midrashim, that if you look at the history of Jewish people, our nisim, the nisim that happened to Jewish people, which always is the climax of a really dramatic scenario of trouble, of suffering, and then Hashem intervenes, like in Egypt, the horrible suffering of the Jewish people, and then Hashem intervenes in a miraculous fashion and redeems them from their troubles. The story of Purim, all of the Jewish people are almost their heads are on the chopping block, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes with the miracles of Mordechai and Esther, that we know behind the scenes, all the miracles that took place, that were nisim nistorim, concealed miracles. I don't have time to go into all that. You read your commentaries on the Megillah and you'll get that. So the way we tend to look at it is, when the Jewish people are in trouble, Hashem will help us if we do tshuva. But what if we don't get in trouble? Then there's no need for the miracle. The miracle is only necessary if we get in trouble. So like, it's almost worthwhile getting in trouble, right? You get the miracle. So says Rav Tzadok, no, the opposite is true. That the reason why Klal Yisrael gets in trouble is because Hashem wants to bring a miracle. As the Ribbono Shel Olam has in mind to do something great for the Jewish people, it may be in a miraculous fashion, it may be in a more nisterdika fashion, a more concealed fashion, but the Ribbono Shel Olam has tremendous gifts, tremendous hashpos, brochas, tremendous new things to give to the Jewish people, and often they are not worthy of it. But he wants to give. It's time to give. The Rebbeinu Shlom has to give this to us. Whatever in the Rebbeinu Shlom's master plan of the universe, the time has come to give it to us. Let me give you an example of this, not on Purim. For instance, when we say Kedusha in Musaf, right? So there's a very interesting insert in the Musaf Kedusha. What is this very interesting insert that doesn't seem to belong to the Musaf of Shabbos? In the, when we say the Kedusha, the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What's that got to do with Musaf? We're doing Tefillah now. Tefillah's Musafin has nothing to do with Kriyat Shema. So, of course, the Chazal tell us that the way it started was that the Romans made a decree that Kriyat couldn't say Shema. They knew that's our allegiance to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They didn't want us to pledge allegiance to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We should pledge allegiance to the Roman Emperor. So they made a gzeira. They put guards at every base Knesset, and the Yidden davened, of course, according to the Zman. And they knew, the Roman guards knew when Sof Zman Kriyat Shema was, and when Sof Zman Kriyat Shema, they knew the order of the Tefillah, and when they got to Shemoneh Esrei, the guards would leave.
Because they know they finished the davening where you say Kriya Shema. When they left, they stuck in the Kriya Shema into the Kedushas Musa. Because the guards were gone already then. Right? Then they wouldn't think, the guards wouldn't think to come back and listen to us. It was a secret, it was like a conniving way to get the Kriya Shema, to be Yotze Kriya Shema, right? Despite the gzeirah that they were not allowed to say it, the Romans weren't smart enough to figure out that they were doing it like this.
The two questions. First was
hold on. No, they did within that. They did within. The guards left. But at least they're icy. You get the first positive. The guards left when they finished Shemoneh Esrei. They figured after Shemoneh Esrei, they're not going to say Kriya Shema anymore, right? They finished Shemoneh Esrei, but it was still Zman Kriya Shema, and the guards left though because after Kriya Shema they're not going to read the what do you call it? So that's how we started saying Shema. So, but why do we continue doing it?
It hasn't been a great debate.
No, not because of that. It was a minig. It wasn't a takonas basing. The reason is, says Reb Tzadok, is because really the Rebbeinu Shalom wants Kriya Shema and Musaf. There's reasons why the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted Kriya Shema and Musaf. Well, Kaiser never would have come up with that on their own. So the Rebbeinu Shalom brought about a decree, and it wasn't without Mishpat. There was a reason why the Jewish people had done something to deserve such a decree, and through this decree, the Rebbeinu Shalom could bring into Klaiso the minhag of saying Shema in Musaf. There's this in reasons why to say Shema in Musaf. But once the decree was taken away, and says Reb Tzadok, the proof of this is that the minute they put it into Kedushas Musaf, the decree was taken away. When they figured out this is how we're going to get by with this, then the decree was taken off. But they understood that you don't take away the minhag. The minhag, there's a good reason for it there. Or for instance, say another example. What do you say? Oh, could be that. I don't know about that. That could be. But another example, the Haftorah. Where did the Haftorah, the meaning of the Haftorah? Because they made a decree there couldn't be Kriya Seter. They wouldn't let us lay in the Torah. Nevim, Mechatez, then Badim. But Torah Shabbat, the Torah itself, they didn't want us to read. So they started doing the Haftorahs from the Nevim. And the Nevim is always, in that portion, there's something Kain, there has some message in there from the Parsha. And this, the decree was taken away, but that Torah stays. And this Reb Tzadok explains in many different places that we have to look at history the opposite of the way that the historians look at history. You have to look at the history like a Talmud Chokham, like a Ben Tirah. That what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants out of us is the culmination of the crisis. That's what the Rebbeinu Shalom really had in mind in the first place. But you have to go through a process to get it if we're not on the level to get it straight. The same is true of Purim, says Reb Tzadok. What was the culmination of Purim? What's the climax of the Purim story before that?
We were saved,
and what? And what happened as a result of Hashem saving us? More. There's a new Kabbalah Satur in the world. And really the Gemara says that the Kabbalah Satur of Har Sinai had a flaw in it, had a weakness in it. It was a Moidor Rabba Loraisa. There was an element of coercion in the first Kabbalah Satur. And that had to be rectified somewhere in the course of Jewish history. When was it rectified? In this time. What's the connection? What? They were so happy. They were so overjoyed when they were saved that they reaffirmed their commitment to the Kol HaTorah Kula. They were brought to such a level of simcha and hakaras hatov and gratitude to Hashem Yisborach. How could they express their thanks to Hashem? By reaffirming bi'ahava with love their commitment to Torah mitzvahs. And that's really what the Rebbeinu Shalom had in mind from the whole story, from the beginning. But they weren't worthy themselves at the time, before the Suda of Achashverosh. Not only were they not worthy of this on their own, they wouldn't have come to this on their own. But they were falling deeper and deeper. And they went to the Suda of Achashverosh. The Nenemah Suda of Shaloi Sarosha. And they had enough from that Suda. It means they were going deeper into the culture of Poras. They weren't getting closer to Torah, they were getting farther away from Torah. That doesn't interfere. The Rebbeinu Shalom will bring about events and happenings that they themselves will turn to Torah. From this they'll turn to Torah. So this is the opposite way of the way the historian looks at history. Really the tachlis of the Tzora is the Yeshua. The tachlis of the Tzora is the Yeshua. The Rebbeinu Shalom brings Tzoras in order that there should be the Yeshuas. Not the opposite. The reason we have Yeshuas is because we got into Tzoras. So we look at the four mitzvahs. We look at the four mitzvahs of Purim, and we say the whole of Purim was included in this. The Kabbalah Satorah. Hashem wanted there to be a new Kabbalah Satorah in the world. Hashem wanted there to be Four new mitzvahs in the world. Where would we have come up with these four new mitzvahs in the world if it not for the story of Purim? Mishloach Manos, Matanas Avyonim, Kriyas HaMegillah, Mishnah V'Simcha. Where we wouldn't have come up with those mitzvahs. Meichteis would make it such a day that we'd do such mitzvahs like that. But the Rebbeinu Shalom wants in every generation there came a time, and why it came at that time is because Haman was the Iker of a Moloch. There's just like the Iker of the Ofer Sacrificium, Lahavdil Elef Havdolos. The kingpin of the Ofer Sacrificium was who? Yaakov Avinu. He was Bechir Shav Ofer. He was the Tachlis of all the Ofers, the Spitz of all the Ofers, the Spitz of Amalek. The greatest Amalek that ever existed was Haman. Right? So this was a time when the Rebbeinu Shalom had to really begin Kivyochol, really begin or renew the battle against Amalek. Milchama Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. There's a battle that Hashem has with Amalek in every generation. And now was the time to bring it into practice on a practical level in the Jewish people. And how is he going to affect this milchama b'Amalek midor dor? With the four mitzvahs of Purim. That when we fulfill those four mitzvahs in every generation, we are battling Amalek. Milchama Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. That's the way we fight Amalek. We recall it, the Shabbos before Purim, that there's a battle against Hashem in every generation, against Amalek. Lemaisa, how we do it, is through the Kriya of the Parsha of Parsha Zohar and the fulfillment of the mitzvahs of Purim themselves. So we have to approach Purim with the proper perspective. This is a very, very, very holy day. It's Kikiyar al Keis Ko. Kein Hashem Sholem. The Rebbeinu Shalom's name is not Sholem in the world. The Rebbeinu Shalom has only one foot in the door. And that they're trying to close on. And the main opposition to Hashem's revelation in this world is Amalek. Amalek. And even within the Jewish people, the biggest problems we have in the Jewish people is because members of Amalek infiltrated the Jewish people. When the Eruv Rav came out of Mitzrayim, there were Amalekim also who came in. And maybe during the course of history, maybe other Amalekites came in. But certainly there's a Bechina that Gro explains of the Amalekim in Klal Yisrael, who caused all the tzaras in Klal Yisrael. All the Lashon Horas and the Machloiksim and the Sinischinim, the institute like we had by the Chet HaEgel was the Eruv Rav. In every generation, the Bale Machloikis, those who caused disputes and conflict within the Jewish people are the Amalekites that are in the Jewish people, somehow infiltrated the Jewish people. The Milchama Hashem b'Amalek, the war of Hashem against Amalek, is the event that has to take place in creation before revelation of the Rebbeinu Shem, before Mashiach Tzidkenu. This is the event that has to take place, Mechias Amalek, before, after, right around the time of Mashiach. Mechias Amalek has to take place. The Esther is called Sof Kol HaNisim. The Nisim of Purim are the end of the Nisim of Tanakh. It's the beginning of the period of the Nisim of Golus. The Nisim that Hashem does for Klal Yisrael in Golus, this is the first time we have the Rebbeinu Shalom doing Nisim for Klal Yisrael in Golus, while they're in Golus, after they've been banished from Eretz Yisrael. And the Rebbeinu Shalom does Nisim, even, Ani Hashem Ashoichem B'Soichem B'Toich Tumasam, even while they're Tomei, even when they fell into the pits of Tuma of Sudas Achashverosh, the Rebbeinu Shalom is with them B'Soich Tumasam, even there the Rebbeinu Shalom does for us Nisim. Purim itself is the prototype, is the archetype miracle for Golus, for the times that we're in today. That's why there's a Chazal, a Midrash that says that all the Amoed Sidim Libotel, that even all the holidays may become secondary, but Purim not. Purim is a special time that's really, really part of the Yom Tovim of Golus. Purim is Shaykh to Golus, the Rebbeinu Shalom. At this time, when everything seems to be hidden, but we should know the Rebbeinu Shalom is making a milchom, he's preparing the stage for the revelation of Hashem, when again He will be revealed, when Hashem will be Sholem, when His name will be Sholem, when Hashem will be Sholem, Ushmo Sholem, Kisei Sholem, everything will be Sholem, there'll be a revelation in the world, there'll be peace, there'll be tranquility, there'll be bracha, tzlocha, everything that the Rebbeinu's revelation brings in the world, but that's predicated on Mechias Amalek. Amalek wants this world to be completely separate from Hashem, and that's why it says, Yad al Keiso. Why is case? What's case? Case, it's kisei, not case. Kisei is throne. What's case? And why is it called yud-hei? Why is it only yud-hei? It's yud-hei, vov-hei. Says the Pesod, because that's the koach of Amalek, is to separate, to cut off, to separate the Rebbeinu Shalom from this world. The aleph of kisei represents Hashem. And the Vav and the Hey represents this world. The Yud and the Hey, the Lomas El Yonim. The Rebbeinu Shem, you stay up there. Stay up there! We don't want you here in this world. That's the motto of Amalek. That's why when they fought against the Jewish people in the desert, what did they do? The people that they caught that were, you know, the Chotim that fell out of the cloud, the Ananei HaKovod, so before they killed them or after they killed them, the Amalekites, they castrated the Zchorim, the males, they castrated them, they took the Bris Milah and they threw it up to the heaven. It says, take what you want, we don't want. Take what you want, we don't want. Is it Bris Milah that there should be a connection with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in our bodies? Amalek, that's the opposite of Amalek. You, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, connected with our bodies. There's nothing we want less than that. Take it. Take what you want. And they threw it as an act of defiance, as an act of rebellion. Hashem, they threw it up. Klapi Shmaya. There's nothing that interferes with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's presence in this world more than Amalek, both within the Jewish people and the external Amalekites. They want to destroy us physically, they want to destroy us spiritually. Amalek is the Piru. That's to separate Hashem, to shoot him in a rocket ship and send him away into outer space. Get rid of Hashem from this world. That's Amalek. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave us, we're partners in bringing the Rebbeinu Shel Olam into the world. That's our job. The mitzvah mechias Amalek, to destroy Amalek, is our job. Somebody said once, you know, there's this kind of a cute saying, there's a little bit of blank in all of us. There's a little bit of Amalek in all of us. There's a little bit of Amalek in all of us. Asher korcho baderech. That's the zuhumas hanochosh. That's when we feel depression, when we feel atzvus, when we feel laziness, when we feel a weakening in emunah, when we feel like that comes. That's the klip of Amalek. That's the korch of Amalek. Asher korcho baderech. That he vayzonet v'cho kolanech sholem acharecho. He attacks the weak amongst us, right? So like, you know, he goes for the weak. He goes, you know, the easy prey, right? Brings us into a situation where it's easy to fall. All the kshirus, the coldness, the lack of enthusiasm in avodas Hashem, that's klipas Amalek. That's our milchama. Our fight against Amalek is within us, in the lave, in our hearts, to wipe out every zechra Amalek. It's a zechra, every remembrance, every little bit of Amalek, not to leave a little bit of it behind. But on a global level, we have these four mitzvahs on Purim, of Kriyas HaMegillah, of Sudas, the Suda on Purim, Mishloach Manos, and the Matanos of Yonim. Let's just talk about for a moment the Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah, the Gemara says, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? Such tremendous nisim. Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? The Gemara gives a few answers. One thing the Gemara says is Kriyosoi Zeu Hilula. The reading of the Megillah is the Hallel. The reading of the Megillah, just like Klal Yisrael, the times of Mordechai and Esther, when they became aware of the tremendous miracles that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam did for them in saving them from Achashverosh and Haman, says that himself brought that itself brought about such a praise, such an embracing of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, such an ava, such a love for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, shekimu v'kiblu, that they were reaffirming out of love and simcha, they reaffirmed their commitment to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So that's the Kriyas HaMegillah. The Kriyas HaMegillah Zehi Luloi. That's the Hallel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we sing Hallel at Purim, sing Hallel on the Yom Tovim, on Rosh Chodesh, how can you sing Hallel? How can you sing Hallel if you don't feel the closeness to Hashem? Chas v'sholem, a guy feels estranged from his wife and he comes home and he starts praising her. It's lip service. He doesn't love his wife, it's his lips. It'll be difficult for him to even say it. He probably won't be able to say it. But one whose love keeps increasing for his wife. So he praises her and he just sees her and he starts rejoicing. He compliments her and he writes her poetry and leaves her notes. And like, when our relationship with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is bi'avo, when we feel close to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, we sing songs to him. We're filled with rejoicing. We want to sing to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's the emun, it's the closest, the kirva to Hashem. That's what the Megillah is to reinstate, to reinforce our kirva, our closest to Hashem. Zel Hiluloi. By what a person praises, you know, the Chazal, what a person praises, that you know a lot about a person by what he praises. The Pasuk, Mishle, I forget the Lashon of the Pasuk. You can tell a person by how he praises and who he praises. Right? You can tell a lot about a person. A person, all he talks about was a certain family. I remember I used to visit them, and I remember that the many times, the course of the different times that I ate in their house, there was tremendous praise about different individuals, but always the praises about people's intellect. Oh, he's so intelligent. Such a smart person. So intelligent. So smart. So I've never heard people being praised for the midas in that house. I've seldom heard people being praised for the midas. Of course, then that's an avodah zarah to seichel, right? And things happen. Things happen in that family which reflected that type of... So you... If you see a person, all he praises, a person praises sports, what do you call it, athletes. All he does is praise athletes. What does it tell you? It tells you something about the person, right? You sit on the train sometimes in America, sit on the train, you see people reading the newspapers, and they're really the sports section, right? They're really munich in the sports section, right? It tells you something about a person, what he praises, what he values, what he holds, what he gets excited about, tells you something about the person, right? When we get all excited about Avodas Hashem, when Kriyos Zeo Hiluloi, when we read the Megillah, that's a hallow. It's mamash a hallow. It's mamash. The Kriyos of Megillah is a hallow. We should come out of it with such a desire to embrace Kudsha Brich, to embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we again ourselves should reaffirm our commitment to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom, I'll love you forever. I'll keep your Torah forever. Hug you and kiss you. And that's it. That's us. We're in love with you. We sing your praises. Kriyos HaZeh Yilulo. That's the Gishmak, the Slavus, the excitement in Avodas Hashem. Then we have the other mitzvahs, which are Mishloach Manos, Matan Savyonim, and Mishtev Simcha, which really all have one theme to, and that's the Bein Odom L'Chaveiro, right? We send gifts to each other. He says a great time if a person has a little bit of an abrasive relationship with somebody, right? Had a little bit of a run-in with somebody and you can't fix it up during the year, a little bit of a problem. He says, nice, Mishloach. Ah, melts everything away. Bring over L'Chaim. Come, Yankelin, let's have a L'Chaim together. It's Purim, it's Purim, right? It's Purim, it's a Mishloach Manos. Shmack, everything's gone. Every Yom Kippur, the guy comes and asks you Mechila, and you say, Michael, go away, there, I have preparations for Yom Kippur. On Purim, everything melts away, everything's gone. Right? It's Mishloach Manos, the Matanos of Yoni, there shouldn't be anybody out there, Chas V'Shalom, they have Yoni. Poor people, how can they have Simcha? How can they have Simcha if the poor people don't have Simcha? Make sure they have also what to eat. Be Mischaber, be connected with everybody. Everybody, we want everybody to feel the Simcha. Mishter, Rav Tzadok says in a different place that the mitzvah of Mishter, to have the suit on Purim, Vasimcha v'ava dover echod, ki idea Simcha misor v'ava, the whole ending of the suit, of making a suda. On Purim, says Rav Tzadok, Ika Kedusha Sayom. It's such a tremendous lashon. Tzadok HaKohen says here, the Kedusha Sayom, the holiness of the day. Think of this, Rabbi said, the holiness of the day. And it, Ha'enyan, the Iker HaMishte, who is Chabus Bnei Odom. The Iker says the Kedusha Sayom is the Mishte, is the Sudas Purim. Why? What's the Gvaldik Kedusha? Will sit around, a bunch of guys are going to sit around. The women will sit there where they sit, and you're sitting around, and you're singing, and you're drinking, you're feeling a little bit high-spirited, right? Don't light a match, who knows what's going to happen, right? You're feeling a little bit, yeah, spiced, right? Pickled, whatever you call it. Right? And that's Ika Kedusha Sayom, Bishmak of food, but your meat, and kugels, and cakes, and wines, and liquors. That's Ika Kedusha Sayom, and singing. Where's the Kedusha? Find me the Kedusha there. The Elah, right? Hashem Hu Elokim, right? Right? Hashem Avinu Malkeinu, Kralu Exardineinu, right? You can have large filas. Sachar Yishamayimus filas saying that that's Kedusha. Where's the Kedusha here? It's hard, the Kedusha. Says Rav Tzadok, Enya de'ikra mishtu ischabrus mene odom le'ava v'achva v'reyes. Pili ploin. Says Rav Tzadok, you know what the Kedusha is? Kedusha is the ahava, the love and the bonding that takes place between those who participate. And there's nothing that bonds people more than yayin upas, eating the meal together and having wine. And therefore, Chazal asered us, Gozru Peter Mishun Yainam the Yainam Mishun Bnoisam Hashem was Goza, we shouldn't eat their bread, Lhathila, we pass in Lhathila shouldn't eat their bread. But yeah, you could. But Gozru Peter Mishun Yainam, because of their wine and to drink their wine, of course the Nisu even today. Why was the Goza in a Yain? Mishun Bnoisam. Because if you drink wine with them, you know what you're gonna end up doing? You'll marry their kids. Why will you marry their kids if you drink wine with them? They're not gonna take anybody for a son in law also. Why should they take you for a son in law? Because you made a connection with them. You impressed them. They like you. You like them. How do they make that connection? You sit down and you drink. That's the nature of Mishta. So the nature of Mishta is it creates av v'chibur. It creates love and bonding, and therefore Chazal HaKadoshim Ruach Kodshim, they knew if we're going to start sharing bread with the goyim, we're in deep, deep trouble. Back in here, if they ask us, you know, don't read, don't go to their libraries, you know, or I don't know, don't do more things that are more connected with philosophical. That also goes on, also. But yenim apitum, what's so terrible about drinking the wine? Wine is not a trace substance. Bread, as long as the ingredients are kosher, what's so terrible? Chazal HaKadoshim knew, you're going to sit and break bread with them. You're going to drink with them. You're going to fall in love with them. That's the nature of lechem. That's the nature of mishta, that you sit down and you break bread together, you eat together, you drink, it creates a chibur. And therefore, the Baruch Hu doesn't want it with the goyim. Meruba mita toiva. So, vada, he does want it with yidden. So you sit down together on Purim, and that's why the Tzaddik says, it's the ikar kedusha sayom. The ikar of the kedusha is this chabrus, the connection of Klal Yisrael together to be mesak and to fix up the taina of Homa. What was Homa's taina? They're all split up. They fight amongst themselves. They don't see eye to eye. They have seen the skin. What do you think they're here for in the first place? They're all tumult with each other. So they're disconnected from you, the Rabbi Shem. They're disconnected from each other. It's all one thing, says Rabbi Tovik. If we were really mi'uchadim, if we were really connected to the Rabbi Shalom, we'd be connected to each other. But it can work from both directions. If we'll really connect to each other, we can really connect to Rabbi Yisroel. And you can't have one without the other. That's a Molech. A Molech wants to separate us from the Rabbi Yisroel, to separate us from each other. He's the one, that's why a Molech, as Dr. Goyen says, the Molech is the one who brings Machloikis and Lashon Hara into Klal Yisroel. Separate from each other. Mefarish and Mefarish. You got them separate. They don't talk to each other. You know the old joke, right? Yid comes to Desert Island, he has to build, right, two shuls. One he dogs in, one he never sets foot in, right? Right, that's the whole joke. But Nebuch, in every joke there's a grain of salt, a grain of salt of the truth, right? A grain of truth in there also. Nebuch, the machloikis in Klal Yisrael. Ahoman was right. As long as they're separate, you don't have to worry about them. You can destroy them. They're not connected. They can't be connected to the Rebbeinu Shalom. If they themselves are not connected with each other, they can't be connected with the Rebbeinu Shalom. Like I told you the story, the guy wanted to convert. There are no problems, except he doesn't like Yid. You can't be an Oyev of Hashem. You can't be a lover of Hashem if you don't love Klal Yisrael. Impossible. And vice versa. You can't really love Klal Yisrael unless you love the Rebbeinu Shalom. So Rebbeinu Shalom gives the Kedushas Hayom. That we should ourselves get overjoyed, excited, gishmak on the Rebbeinu Shalom. Read the Megillah, get excited about the Rebbeinu Shalom. Bring back the fire, the brandy, slavus, that Amalek wants to take away from us. He wants us to be like the cold, the Celtic Yid, right? It's like Chazal gave the marshal. What did he accomplish, Amalek? He got shechted. Yeshua went out and shechted him. So Chazal, Rashi brings the Chazal, says, yeah, but Klal Yisrael was like an ambatir reisachas. It was like a burning bath that nobody dared to jump into. It comes this late, this idiot, this scoffer, and he jumps in. He got scalded, but he's still lost. He says, Iskarul Ambatya. The minute he goes in, he cooled down the bath. Says, everybody else, well, look, you can survive. You can attack the Jewish people, and all right, you get a good clap, but you can come out of it. You can stay alive. And he weakened the fear of the Umas Olam, of the nations of the world, from the Rabbeinu Shem, from Klaus, and weakened that fear. He dislodged that fear from the Goyim. That they weren't afraid anymore of Klal Yisrael. They weren't afraid anymore of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Right? He brought kirirus, kalkite, coldness into the world. We banish that on Purim. We get all excited. We sing to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We dance to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The people who mamash make on Purim, like a kofas, like on Simchas Torah. They make nigunim like on Simchas Torah, right? Or like on Hoshana Rabbah, they have tefillos and mamash tachnunim. The kedushas of Yom Purim, you can't imagine there's minhagim that is like Yom Kippur, that they sing Yom Kippur nigunim, and there's minhagim like Hoshana Rabbah, which is the tremendous Yeshua, the Kapora, the finishing of the Kapora, like Simchas Torah. The kedushas of Purim is Yom Nerv. It says Rav Tzadok, you should know that the ikar kedushas Hayom is the schabus, the Suda, when we get together in the Ava of Zelazim. He wrote that we should bear in mind as we approach Purim the Kedushas Hayom. It's not a push of the day. It's not just a day when, you know, we let go, we let loose. You know, you let your hair down, so right? Well, yeah. Ah, today I can get drunk. The limitations of living a frum life are taken away. Uninhibited hefkerus. There. That's like vomiting. You vomit on Purim. It's a simon that your Purim is a vomit. Yeah, why should a person vomit on Purim? Drink with chokhmah. Drink wisely. You have to know how to drink and when not to drink and what not to drink, so you don't bring yourself to puking on Purim. But the Purim itself, the simcha is to create bond ava between us. That's the kedusha of Klal Yisrael, the achdus. If we don't come out of Purim with more achdus, we failed on our Purim. Mamash failed all Purim then. What'd you get out of it? I'll go, okay, you're mekayim the mitzvah, say the chadamah, because both give schar for the mitzvah. But the tachlis of the mitzvahs you didn't get. So we have to approach Purim with kovid rosh, with tremendous serious mind to approach Purim. That we're to accomplish great things on Purim. We're to make bridges with each other, bonds with each other, to increase the Kedusha, our own Kedusha, and the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, and to knock away another battalion from Amalek's army. Because when we're making those mitzvahs, those four mitzvahs, which one of them, again, which is to bring back the Slavus, the fire to Klal Yisrael, and the other three mitzvahs to bring back the Avo, the Chibur, the connections in Klal Yisrael, we chip away at the Koch of Amalek, Milchoma Lashem Amalek. That's the Milchoma against Amalek in every door. Mamish Purim, the whole day is, we're a battle, Rabbi Sai. We're fighting a war. If we do it properly, we weaken Amalek. Vayachlosh Yoshua Samolek Lefi Chorev. By the mouth of a sword with a tefillah that represents our tefillahs, the tefillahs of Purim. Gevaldig, the tefillahs. You know what a tefillah on Purim is? From Tanis Esther, from tomorrow, till Purim, all the days of Purim, Tanis Esther, Yudala, Tezvov. Tefillahs are, it's an Ace Rotson. It's a time you ask for yourselves, ask for others, ask for everything, after the Bubbies and the Zaydas and the uncles and the aunts and everybody. Ask for everything, for Shidduchim, for Mamnus, for Ruchnius, ask for everything. Because it's an Ace Rotson, and Rebbe Shem wants to give us a time to really be Mechazik ourselves in truth. When we approach Purim like that, you're supposed to have a good time at the Suda. You don't have to sit there and be real frum, you know, not to, you know, sip the wine with trepidation, right? Drink the wine, enjoy the wine, enjoy the Suda, but realize what you're doing now is you're shechting a mole. The Rebbe Shem's relying on us. He's waiting for us to do this. He gave us this mitzvah, these mitzvahs to accomplish this. We're accomplishing the greatest accomplishment of the whole year, perhaps, is on Purim. Vayachlosh Yoshua to weaken Amalek. When we weaken Amalek, there's one step closer, one more bit of strength for the Rebbe Shem to reveal himself in the world. That's what Purim is all about. Yirotzon, that we should all come out from Purim mechuzik, strengthen our munah, strengthen our simcha and our happiness, our rejoicing, our love for each other. If there are any, you know, things, frictions between people, all has dissolve away on Purim. If it didn't dissolve away on Purim, then you got to keep 2 days of Purim. Then you better do Yudala and Tezvav, right? If you feel you got such a, you need 2 days of Purim. Then to go to Bnei Brak on Tuesday and then Yerushalayim on it. But if you don't, you got to be careful. You got to be back to Yerushalayim on time, otherwise you lose out. But in Yetzah Hashem Mitzvah, we should all be zeichet that the Purim should be a time of a tremendous chizuk for all of us as individuals and as yeshiva, the bonding of the yeshiva and Ben Yishma.